Comes from Hebrews 8, 6:13, for those who have your Bibles. But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbours, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord,' for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear.
Well, I wonder if we did a little test and we asked you to think of occasions, examples where a deal or a contract had gone wrong. I wonder how many you could think of. Let's just start for a nanosecond on Brexit. And even before the deal is done, there are people at both ends of the spectrum saying, can we have a new deal, different to whatever deal is going to be done? And then we've got in the public service, what have we got? We've got those rail franchises which go wrong, and the train company says, we can't run these trains anymore, it's not fair, we're not going to make enough money, and they ask to renegotiate. Or the government pulls them off them because they're not running the trains properly. Or what about those public health contracts where now the provision of services in the NHS is all parcelled out, but then some group gets the contracts and then 6 months later says, oh no, we can't actually make this work. Can we renegotiate? I'm sure if we put our minds to it, we could think of lots of occasions where the deal doesn't work, where people want to put their hands up and say, this ain't working anymore. Can we have new terms, a new contract, a new deal? Well, we've been reading through one of the letters in the Bible. And this is a letter written to a group of Christians by an author. We don't quite know who the author is, but we can work out, reading what they've written, that they're probably addressing their letter to a group of Christians who had a distinctly Jewish heritage, people who were probably in the Jewish faith and then met Jesus and became Christians. And all through this letter, the author is wanting to strike contrasts and is saying, look, in your Jewish faith, you've got lots of stuff and good stuff. But now we know Jesus, things are different. Now we know Jesus, we understand that stuff differently, and is painting these contrasts. And we've been working through some of those contrasts in the past few weeks. Well, we've got to chapter 8 now, and now the author is really zeroing in on one key contrast and really egging it greatly with lots and lots of words, and Paul has just read a fragment of the argument here. But what the contrast is saying, well, look, in your Jewish faith, you had this sense of ritual, of bargaining, of saying to God, look, okay, I know I've done wrong, I know I've messed up, but if I do these sacrifices, if I go through this religious ritual, then with God, with you, will I be okay? And the author is wanting to paint that picture and to park it over here and contrast it with the person of Jesus. And through the letter, the author has been trying to say to us that this person, Jesus, is a man who lived and died but then didn't stay dead. He was no ordinary man. He was much more than a man. In fact, the author once says, look, understand Jesus is fully God's. God's come to live on earth, to bridge the great gulf, the great divide between heaven and earth. That's done in this person, Jesus. And so now it turns to this contrast. It says, look, any religion, any of the world faiths, whether it's a Muslim or Jewish faith or whatever, paint this picture that God is divine and we are human and earthly. Well, so far, so good. And they go on to paint this picture. Well, God is divine, we are earthly, but we mess up and we do things wrong. We offend God, we hurt God. Well, so far, so good, because we absolutely do that. But in doing that, they're widening the gulf, widening the distance between us as people and God, the divine. And then saying, but maybe as humans, we can strike a bargain with God. Maybe we can do something. Maybe there's some religious ritual or there's some sacrifice or something we can do to enable us to meet and be worthy and counted worthy before the divine once again. Maybe there is something we can do to do that. Well, our author wants to say, park all that. Put all that over one side. See the difference. Because in Jesus, there's a whole new deal available to us. A whole new thing where rather than us trying to get ourselves right with God, us trying to strike a bargain with God, instead God himself comes down and God says, look, I will put into your minds the things that are right. I will write onto your hearts my laws and my ways. This is my new deal for you. Sounding quite good, isn't it? But that's only part one. Part two of the deal is the fact, well, we have messed up, we have done wrong, and we can't just brush over that. We can't just pretend it's not there. But God somehow in Jesus finds a way of putting his perfect righteousness and being all perfect and divine onto us. So that in Jesus, he now sees us as in the right. And so our wrongdoings and all our mischief and misdemeanors can be forgiven and wiped away. Now that's an incredible deal. And that is the deal that our author wants us to realize that is available from God. We don't have to do this bargaining anymore. We don't have to do this attempting anymore of trying to get things right, because God himself will put his thoughts in our minds. His thoughts on our hearts. And so when we wake up tomorrow, it won't be a case of waking up and thinking, okay, what can I do today? But instead, okay, God, how would you have me live today in a way that pleases you? Put that in my thoughts and my hearts and my ways, so that I can please you, that I can be about your business, about godly business, rather than about my own business. That's why Christians are called Christians, because they are people in Christ. They put their lives in Jesus, in all that he has done for us. And they say, okay, I no longer want to see things my way. I want to see things as Jesus would see them. I want to think through things as Jesus would think through things. I want to respond to situations, all things that's going to be thrown at me at 10 past 8 on a Monday morning. I want to respond them as Jesus would respond. So that my thoughts are his thoughts and my ways are his ways. Putting ourselves in Christ, and when we are in Christ, when God looks at us, what does he see? He sees not our wrongdoing, but Jesus, and therefore us in the right. That's why we're called Christians, people in Christ, accepting the new deal, Because hopefully by now you're kind of getting the twig that this new deal isn't just tampering with the contract. It isn't just slightly changing the terms and conditions, but it's completely wiping away the old and chucking that away, saying, well, you tried to make that work, but clearly it doesn't. But now we have something new, a completely new way. Do you know the interesting thing is, though, when our author was writing this, they weren't making it up. They were actually quoting something from the older Jewish part of the Bible, from one of the many people who felt God saying stuff and spoke it out and had it written down. In this case, it's someone called Jeremiah. You can look it up. It's Jeremiah chapter 31. You can see that the author is quoting it virtually word for word. And so what we're saying here is that these words were written down not after Jesus, but several hundred years before Jesus, in the heart of the Jewish faith. In other words, God always intended things to move towards these new deals. It was never the case that God said, well, do this, and then all that went hopelessly wrong, and then God scratched his head and thought, oh man, what are we going to do? I know, I'll come up with something brand new. No, that was never the plan. God always planned it to go towards Jesus and for people to be in Christ and for his thoughts to be written on their mind and on their hearts. He wrote about it hundreds of years before Jesus actually came. That was the direction of travel all along. But here's the thing. If we start to have God's ways in our minds and God's ways written on our hearts, don't think that people in Christ are therefore perfect. Because the reality is that we're humans version 1.0, like everyone else. And humans version 1.0 have this incredible capacity for messing things up and going wrong and getting it hideously wrong. Why? Because although God wants to put his ways in our minds, we are brilliant at blocking that out and thinking, well, I'll just stick with the old patterns, thank you very much. And whilst God wants to write on our hearts his laws and his ways, our hearts so often are so hard, like stone. So if God's going to do some writing on our hearts, he's got to get the chisel out and start tapping away, and it's going to take some time. We all suffer from this, and so we all make mistakes, and even as Christians, it is possible for us to do the things that are just hideously wrong. But the new deal still stands. The new offer, the new promise, the new covenant, which is God offering something that he will stick to through thick and thin, is still available for him to put his ways in our heads, his laws written on our hearts, so that we can be in Christ and seen as forgiven and can make amends and do better the next day and better the day after that. But that requires us to be brutally honest with ourselves and with each other. That requires us to drop all pretenses, to make no excuses, to have no fudging of the issues, to recognize wrong for what it is and our part in it. And to say, yeah, that is wrong, and I'm not going to pretend that nobody got hurt. I'm not going to pretend that it wasn't as bad as it sounds. And it was bad and it was wrong, but now I need to move forward with God and the forgiveness that he can put on it, on my life. And now I need to move forward, allowing my thoughts to be his thoughts, my ways to be his ways, and my responses to be his responses, so that tomorrow I can be different and better than how I was before. You see, if we are going to be in Christ, It probably means that the way we need to respond and interact with one another needs to change and be different. So I always like to set a little challenge for the congregation. For those of you who are visiting, welcome, listen in. But let me give you a little tip. The worst thing you can say to me after this service, the worst thing, and the people who are regular here will know what I'm going to say now, the worst thing you can say after is, that was a nice service. Because the whole point of us being here is to face what God needs us to face. For God to do a little bit more chiseling on our hearts. To be more godly when we go out than when we came in. And sometimes that's a quirky, painful process. Not necessarily so nice, but God means it for the good. So the question and challenge is this. So it'll come up on the screen. It's what we call an out question. How are we with other people out there? How does God accepting you affect how you deal with other people? You see, if God has made this new deal available, if he has truly swept aside all that ritual and bargaining and all that stuff and made this new deal available to you, then shouldn't that start affecting how you interact with other people? If that deal is for you, shouldn't it start making a difference in your life with other people? So the challenge is, given that God makes forgiveness available for you, now start extending that same new deal of forgiveness to other people this week. Rather than the classic of feeling all nice and forgiving yourself, but then going straight out there and seeing someone and condemning and blaming and scapegoating and all that stuff that is all mixed up in the world and culture of today. No, instead, take the challenge. Extend the same new deal of forgiveness that God can stamp on your life today. Extend that forgiveness to someone else as you go out from this place. Question and challenge for you. You see, the point is that this deal isn't just made for the few. God has made this deal in Jesus for everyone. It's just a lot of people haven't cottoned on yet, haven't even heard that the deal is available, maybe because we haven't presented it properly. But that deal is available for everyone, which means that it is available for each and every person who is here today. That offer of God's to say, leave behind your old life, be behind that old stuff, those old ways of thinking. You don't need to try and bargain anymore. You don't need to try and climb some spiritual ladder. You don't need to try and go over and over and over whatever ritual was your choice. But allow me to stamp on your life, you are my son or daughter. Forgiven in Jesus. Someone who can learn by the Spirit of God coming into your life what it means to go God's ways. What it means to respond how Jesus would have responded. To know how God would have us think. That is available for each and every person here this morning. And it is just one prayer away. One prayer. Now, it may be that you're sitting here thinking, this is just absolutely bonkers. This new deal that he speaks of, it just sounds too fanciful to be true. The world doesn't work that way. Well, if you're thinking that, you're almost there. Because you're right. The world doesn't work that way. But allow yourself just a little fraction of movement to think, but God does work this way. God can work this way. He does it in Jesus. And he does it for each and every person here, and therefore for me. So open your heart, soften your heart, allow him to do some work in your life. By saying, Jesus, I know I've messed up. I'm not going to fudge. I'm not going to pretend. But it's just there, and that's who I am. I want my life to be in your life now. Come and forgive and show me. Let's pray together. It may be that you want to just pray along with me and echo my words in your own hearts and accept this new deal that God has made available, that God always intended, and accept it made available in Jesus. So if that's you, just pray in the quietness of your own heart, echoing my words. Lord Jesus Christ, I know my life is not what it should have been. I know my life is not what it could be. It has warts, distractions, and all kinds of stuff. But now, Lord Jesus, I look to you and ask you to forgive. May I put my life in you. And may you come and enter my life and put your thoughts in my mind, your ways written on my heart, your desires in my life, that I may follow you from this day forward, doubtless making mistakes, but each time you correcting and leading and growing me forward into your glorious presence. Amen.